Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
I know my faith is founded on Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, and this my faith confessing. Unmoved I stand on His sure word, man's reason cannot fathom the truth of God profound, who trusts in subtle wisdom, relies on shifting ground. God's word is all sufficient, it makes divinely sure. And trusting in its wisdom, my faith shall rest secure.
The hymn, I Know My Faith Is Founded, sung by the Concordia Seminary Chorus, a theme that will be heard loud and clear this coming Sunday as the disciples ask Jesus to increase their faith. We have a very famous, made famous by St. Paul and others who quote it repeatedly, verse from an otherwise obscure book of Habakkuk, the righteous shall live by faith, and so much more to look forward to on Sunday morning. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Monday afternoon, September the 26th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Carl Fikencher joins us to look forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary. Then we're going to be talking with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show Law and Gospel, teaching a Sunday school lesson on the judge and the prophet Gideon. Other than Samson, he gets the most ink in the book of Judges, of any of the judges, and it's a mixed bag with Gideon. Then Pastor Ken Sherb joins us, part 39 of our weekly series on Martin Luther and the Reformation, continuing our conversation on Luther's treatment of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of Issues Etc., 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. The Issues Etc. comment line, open 24/7. 618-223-8382. Joining us to look forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, Dr. Carl Fikencher, professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fikencher, welcome back.
Always a delight, Todd. Thank you.
The gospel reading for this coming Sunday, it's great, but it's a little, well, kind of all over the place. It addresses or appears to address several different issues. What's going to unify it among the propers?
Well, this does give us an interesting occasion, Todd. We'll have some fun today looking at what this gospel means for a couple of things, both for the way the Holy Spirit inspired the gospel writers to record the message, and then also the way the lectionary is put together, because I think you're right. I really do identify three distinct issues that are raised in the gospel reading. And since the gospel reading drives all the propers are based on the theme of the gospel reading, well, if you've got three different major elements, three different themes in the gospel reading, where are the other propers going to go? So that'll be a lot of fun to explore, and we'll propose some things that I think will be intriguing, and we'll get to a pretty good conclusion, I think, by the end.
The gospel reading is Luke 17, the first 10 verses.
Luke 17, 1 through 10, listen to this, and as I'm reading it, consider how it does really seem to shift gears a couple of times. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Now, that does seem to go multiple directions, and it's actually very interesting even to see how different renditions of the Bible, different translations, or the Greek handle this. The ESV that many of us use on Sunday morning divides this into three headings, breaking between verses 4 and 5, and then again between verses 6 and 7. The New American Standard Bible, which I use quite frequently for my study Bible, divides it up into two sections, verses 1 through 4, and then it keeps verses 5 through 10 all together as one idea. So that's just two portions. And then the 26th and 27th edition of Nestle-Aulin, that is the Greek New Testament that many of us use, has it actually divided up into four paragraphs. It actually splits it in the middle of verse 3, and then divides again after verse 4, and again after verse 6. And we shouldn't be misled. The Greek New Testament, while it is giving us the original language, is also edited. That is to say, the paragraph divisions aren't there in the original manuscripts. In fact, they're all run together with no spaces even between words, certainly not between paragraphs. So it's a matter of human editors down the line trying to make their best decisions on what connects. The point is, depending on which editor you look at, and therefore, of course, also which commentator, and then also which pastor preaching on this lesson, you'll find different ideas of how these elements connect or don't seem to connect. I would say we really do have three major ideas here. And as I said, that does tell us a little bit about how the lectionary works and even how the Holy Spirit inspired the Scriptures. Because the Holy Spirit did not necessarily inspire each gospel writer to put things down the same way or in the same order. We have, for example, verses 1 through 4 here in our gospel reading that talks about how temptations come, but we shouldn't be the cause of temptation. Woe to the one who causes one of these little ones to fall into sin. And likewise, if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him, even seven times a day. Those elements occur in Matthew chapter 18, in two different sections of Matthew chapter 18. First, the matter about giving offense to one of these little ones, and then the well-known section on forgiving a brother seven times or 70 times seven times in Matthew chapter 18 later on in the chapter. So there you see the Holy Spirit talking about through Matthew, and now here also through Luke, about forgiving one another and not letting sins become a barrier to someone else's faith. But it's in very different contexts in Matthew and in Luke. The middle portion of this gospel reading, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now this, the prayer by the apostles to increase our faith occurs nowhere else in Scripture, just here in Luke's gospel. And the part about the mustard seed and the mulberry tree is actually unique to Luke's gospel, although in Matthew's gospel, totally different section, in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus says that you could throw a mountain into the sea. So Jesus said similar things at different times, and they're put together here in different contexts. And then the last portion of this week's gospel reading from Luke 17 about not telling your servant, yeah, you go ahead and sit down and eat first, but rather saying to your servant, no, you serve me, and then afterwards you can eat. And in fact, therefore, we are unworthy servants, all of us. That occurs nowhere else in Scripture at all. So what we see is that the Holy Spirit has inspired Luke to record different sayings of Jesus in contexts that are different from anywhere else in the Gospels, nevertheless significantly bring them together. It's never haphazard. It's never random. Always the Holy Spirit has something very definitely in mind when he inspires the Gospel writer to record it. But exactly what? What exactly is the unifying idea? Or, in fact, are we simply getting three, as I think, really quite different elements that Jesus spoke at various times collected here? I think that's the case, which then gives us a challenge when we think about the lectionary, because we've said already that the gospel reading sets the theme for the day, but if in fact the Holy Spirit has inspired the gospel writer to put several really unrelated elements together, how will the human designers of the lectionary with the other propers deal with that? And I think what we really have here is actually an interesting mixed bag. The first section, again, this is the section where Jesus says, temptations are to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him, and even seven times a day. This actually is not picked up in any of the other propers of the day, except, interestingly, that it happens to give us the liturgical verse. The verse, which is sung between the epistle and the gospel, generally coming from the gospel, as it does here, is often very strongly thematic for the day. The verse this week is from verse 3 here, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. But there really is nowhere else in the propers where that element is picked up this week. It's heavily developed in gospel readings from Matthew's gospel in year A of the three-year lectionary, in proper 19a, that's in there explicitly. It's really very much the theme of that day. But this time, it's not really developed in the Old Testament lesson or the epistle or the psalm or the intro to the collect. But we do nevertheless have a significant idea, and it's obviously a very important one, that we are to forgive one another at every opportunity and never let impenitence or our refusal to forgive stand in the way of another brother's faith. The middle section again. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus says, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted, planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And this is a very interesting one, which is picked up significantly in the other propers. The apostles pray for an increased faith. Lord, increase our faith. But Jesus' answer is really quite enigmatic. When he says, if you had faith like a mustard seed, just a little tiny faith, you could do amazing things. Well, is Jesus saying, yes, I will increase your faith, or no, I won't increase your faith? Very difficult, really, to give a yes or no inference from what Jesus says. So that's going to bear, I think, some significant study, not only here in the gospel reading, but then as we look through the other propers. And this, again, is one of those helpful elements about the lectionary. As we look through the other propers, we'll get some helpful insights into what Jesus really means when he answers the apostles' prayer, increase our faith. It's a great prayer. God is eager to answer it, but how does he answer it? Finally, the last section again, this is the one which begins, will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he is coming from the field, come at once and recline at table? No, he's not going to do that. He's going to say, I want you to serve me first. That's your job as a servant. And verse 20, so you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. For a servant to wait on his master is simply his duty. It's not something above and beyond. It's not something that earns him extra credit, shall we say. And of course, Jesus is reminding us that we are all unworthy servants. We all fall short of the glory of God. We never do everything that we are commanded to do, and so we certainly don't have any claim on God's goodness from us. Now, this portion, this last portion, does connect to other propers of the day in also some interesting ways. It's going to help us consider what some of the other readings do when they ask the sorts of questions like, what is justice, and does God give everyone what he or she deserves? As we go through some of the other propers, remember that point, we are unworthy servants. And that will be eye-opening to us when we start to evaluate whether God is really giving out fairly what people deserve or not. Now, Todd, that's an awful lot to kind of prime the pump with, and we'll look at those other propers and sort out a great deal of this, and it is interesting to have the multiple themes out there. I think ultimately we'll find one that, at least in my observation, is the dominant of the day, but it'll take us a while to get there.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. When we come back, we'll be looking at the intro at one of those propers for this coming Sunday as we look forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary. That intro will find us yet again for now many Sundays running in Psalm 119, talking about God's decrees and testimonies, his law and his commandments. Stay tuned.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Over and over again, I tried to let the entire book reflect this, that the holiness of all the saints is only the holiness of Jesus reflected in their lives.
Pastor Will Wheaton, author of the new book, Celebrating the Saints.
And this holiness of Christ is the thing which the saints grabbed onto in faith, and it illumined their lives.
You can purchase Celebrating the Saints by calling 1-800-325-3040 or at issuesetc.org.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler, or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Increase my faith, dear Savior, for Satan seeks by night and day to rob me of this treasure and take my hope of bliss away. But Lord, with you beside me, I shall be undismayed. And led by your good Spirit, I shall be unafraid. Abide with me, O Savior, a firmer faith. Then I shall bid defiance to every evil foe.
Stanza 2 of the hymn, I Know My Faith Is Founded. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We are looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary on this Monday afternoon, the 26th of September. Dr. Carl Fekencher is our guest. He's professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Concordia Theological Seminary forms servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. If you've ever considered the vocation of pastor or of deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their toll-free number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit them on the web, ctsfw.edu. Dr. Fekencher, we are now for, I don't know how many weeks running, in that long Psalm 119 for our introit.
Lots of good material in Psalm 119, so it's no surprise, as you say, Todd, that it comes up again and again. Here is this week's introit from Psalm 119, verses 162, 164, 65, 67, and 66. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. I rejoice at your word, like one who finds great spoil. Seven times a day I praise you for your just and righteous decrees. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. And the Gloria Patri, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. We've mentioned a number of times, and it's always worth reminding ourselves once more, in these Torah psalms, like Psalm 119, when we speak of God's commandments, his righteous decrees, even his law, we're not only speaking there of law as in law distinguished from gospel, we're also speaking of the totality of God's Old Testament scriptures, and especially the Torah, the first portion of the Old Testament, that not only includes law, things we are to do, but definitely also includes gospel, the gracious things God has done for us in the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. And that is really huge here for the psalmist. Listen to just a couple of phrases that I'll cut off. It begins, I hope for your, I rejoice at your, I praise you for your. Okay? In each one of these, we've got something that we do. In these cases, very passive things, hope, rejoice, praise, but they're always because of something in God. I hope for your salvation, O Lord. I rejoice at your word. Seven times a day I praise you for your just and righteous decrees. The point, of course, is that our hoping in God, rejoicing in God, praising God, even then having great peace, the next verse goes, are never things that we ourselves generate, and they're certainly not things that we earn by what we do. Our hope, our joy, our praising is all a result of what God does for us. Remember the couple of things we're seeing from that gospel reading. We're looking at the idea that we are all unworthy servants, so that when we answer the question, you know, do we get what we deserve? Well, there's an important thing to remember about that. That certainly is relevant here, because when we are hoping, rejoicing, praising for what God does, it reminds us that we have nothing to hope in for ourselves, nothing about ourselves to rejoice in or to praise about. Always it's because of what God has done for us in Christ. So there's that unworthiness idea, no question. But we'll also see in these same phrases, I hope for something from you, I rejoice at something from you, I praise you for something you do, we'll also again see the relevance of that for the other major theme that we're following from our gospel reading, that question of increasing our faith. Lord, increase our faith. We'll get to that in a little bit, but keep that in mind as we continue.
The collect for this coming Sunday.
O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, by your grace, hear the prayers of your church. Grant that those things which we ask in faith we may receive through your bountiful mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Remember that second theme from the gospel reading, increase our faith. And we're going to see faith becoming more and more apparent and transparent as we go through here. Grant that those things which we ask in faith we may receive. By your grace, hear the prayers of your church, including that prayer from the gospel reading, Lord, increase our faith. Well, when we pray that God would increase our faith, it's important that we remember we're calling upon God who is our, as the collect says, refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, and as we pray for the things that we ask, it's always that we may receive them through your bountiful mercy. So again, God's answer to all of our prayers is always based on what he does, never on some worthiness in ourselves, not even in the value of our prayer, excellent prayer though it may be, and not even in the value of our faith per se, magnificent gift though faith be. Okay, so let's keep that in mind also as we continue through our propers.
Now, we have this Old Testament reading, a few verses from two chapters of Habakkuk that probably would not have ended up in the lectionary at all, given kind of the obscurity of Habakkuk,
right,
were it not for the fact that even though it may be an obscure book, the Apostle Paul and a few others in the New Testament think it's pretty important.
Are all over this. Habakkuk 2 verse 4, the last verse of our Old Testament lesson, will be very familiar to anyone who has never even read the Old Testament if he studied the New Testament carefully. Here's Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then skipping down to chapter 2, also verses 1 through 4. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise, so the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Chapter 2 now. I will take my stand at my watchpost, and station myself on the tower, and look out to what I see he will say to me, and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me. Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It surely will come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. St. Paul quotes that in Romans chapter 1 as part of his theme for the entire book of Romans. Romans 1, 16 and 17, that's verse 17, where Paul is setting the tone for the entire epistle of the Romans. Paul also quotes in Galatians 3, it's cited by the writer of the Hebrews in chapter 10 as well. A very, very well-known New Testament verse, but it comes to us from Habakkuk. Very interesting context here. The prophet Habakkuk is first calling out to God and talking about how it just doesn't seem as if justice is being done. Remember that second theme from our gospel reading, from that third section of Luke chapter 17, specifically verses 7 through 10. How long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? All this sort of thing is going on around Habakkuk. There is a great wickedness among God's people. And the shocking thing is that the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, are even more wicked. And yet Habakkuk calling for justice, that is punishment for the wickedness of God's people, is not at all going to be delighted at the idea that the even more wicked Chaldeans or Babylonians are going to come and be the administrators of that justice. So Habakkuk is very much in a quandary as he calls out to God, what are you doing here, Lord? Are you ever going to come up and fix these things? But then the prophet in faith says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. In other words, okay, I just don't see how this is going to work out, Lord. I don't see how justice is going to be done properly here. It looks to me like the unrighteous are being allowed to prosper, and ultimately someone even less righteous is going to come out on top. That would be the Babylonians. Nevertheless, I'm going to take my position as a watchman. Up on the picture is on the watchtower of the city, looking out into the distance to see what's coming up from the Lord. And I believe, Lord, that you are ultimately going to make this work out in a way that is according to your perfect design. And sure enough, the Lord answers. He says, the vision still awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. And the ultimate answer is that last verse. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. That is the evil ones, whether among God's people or among the Chaldeans. They think they've got it going on. They're puffed up. But the ultimate word is the righteous shall live by his faith. It's not a matter of works. It's a matter of faith. And those who are rebelling against God's will in their open wickedness ultimately will not prosper. Who will? Well, the one who will prosper ultimately, the one who will live, is the one who lives simply by faith, simply by trusting that God himself is going to make all these things right. Remember now that other theme from the gospel reading when the disciples say, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus gives that very enigmatic answer. Here the prophet Habakkuk is really struggling with what seems to be a great miscarriage of justice. But the Lord says, wait for the appointed time. It's not going to lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. God is ultimately saying, even when it looks very bad, trust, that is, have faith, that I myself will be faithful. I myself, I the Lord, will come through just as I have promised. And this is going to be a huge element of Jesus' enigmatic answer to the disciples in their plea, their prayer for increased faith. Ultimately, God is going to do justice. He's going to bring about justice. There's going to be punishment for those who reject him. But the one who lives is the one who simply trusts that God is going to make all things right. Above all else, and actually in every case, because Christ Jesus has made all things right in his perfect keeping of God's law on behalf of all people. Those who wait for the Lord to do what he promises to do ultimately will share in what Christ has done in his keeping of the law and then taking our sins to the cross.
We're looking forward to Sunday morning. According to the 3-year lectionary on this Monday afternoon, Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest, professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. On the other side of the break, we'll be looking at the psalm, which is Psalm 62, and the epistle reading, Guard the Deposit Entrusted to You. Revisit that gospel, find a theme, and hopefully by the time we have finished our conversation, we'll also talk a little bit about that hymn we've been hearing, I Know My Faith Is Founded.
Relevant worship isn't about trying to look and act like the rest of the world to appeal to the culture around us, but relevant worship is about Christ. Hope Lutheran Church of Birmingham brings you truly relevant worship, where sinners gather to hear God's word and receive his gifts of forgiveness and peace. Visit us online at hopebham.org. That's hopebham.org. Or give us a call at 205-956-1930. We'll see you Sunday.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
When pastors talk about us, they call us Ad Crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of Ad Crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam, but no matter how you say it, Ad Crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADC, RUCEM.com.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary with Dr. Carl Fekencher. Dr. Fekencher, let's look at the psalm for this coming, which is Psalm 62, this coming Sunday.
Psalm 62, and remember we're following those two major issues from the gospel reading, that prayer of the disciples to Jesus, increase our faith, and then this question of whether God is really doing justice, what is really right, what is really proper. Here's the psalm, Psalm 62. Listen for those two elements. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him, like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge, is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are put together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. Now, that second theme from our gospel reading, that question of what is a worthy, unworthy servant, and what is proper justice, verse 9 reminds us, those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. In other words, what the psalmist is saying here is those who seem to be prospering yet in wickedness are ultimately going to be shown for what they are, really lightweights. They're not going to hold down their substance at all. Justice is going to come. But the other theme from our gospel reading now seems to me to be becoming far more dominant. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. Remember, Lord, increase our faith. Waiting for God is this matter of faith. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. Verse 8 says, trust in him at all times, O people. There's the question of faith, trusting in God, even as Habakkuk had to do when things did not seem to be right or just, when things seemed to be going badly for a time, and God said, wait. But here is the magnificent insight the psalmist gives us. For God alone my soul waits in silence. Why? Why can we have faith? Why can we wait in silence? Why can we trust? What is the basis for increased faith? Well, he only is my rock and my salvation. my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. From him comes my salvation. God's answer to our prayer for increased faith is to remind us again and again and again what he does. Our faith isn't a matter of something stronger in ourselves, something mightier in ourselves. When God answers the prayer for increased faith, it's always by assuring us of what he does for us. And the psalmist has a magnificent touch on this. Power belongs to God, he says in verse 11, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. You are powerful. You are loving. You've got the power to set all things right, and you love us so that you certainly will set all things for our good. Stronger faith comes from hearing again and again that assurance from God. And Paul picks this up also, interestingly, Todd, in our epistle lesson from 2 Timothy chapter 1. We often have observed that the epistle lesson during this time of year does not always pick up the major elements of the theme, but there are some very significant elements here this time. I won't read every word of the epistle lesson this time, but it begins, this is the beginning of St. Paul's second epistle to Timothy, and after the initial address, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, says this, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. St. Paul praying for Timothy. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith. Remember the theme we're looking at in the gospel reading? Lord, increase our faith. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. St. Paul knows that faith has been engendered in Timothy's heart by God's word given to him by his mother and grandmother. These are the very same elements that Paul picks up later on in chapter 3, the magnificent passage where he talks about the inerrancy of Scripture in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, which he precedes by saying, remember from whom you have learned these things. Timothy had been given God's word by his mother and grandmother even before St. Paul came along. And then Paul says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Fan into flame the gift of God. Paul is praying for Timothy a stronger faith to live out the calling that he has in his ordination, the laying on of hands. And that prayer that Paul gives that Timothy would have a stronger faith, fanned into flame, is again because of this calling that God has given him in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Remember the kinds of suffering that Habakkuk was witnessing and experiencing? So also St. Paul, having to be patient in these trials, the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, we are all unworthy servants, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Remember, we've said in the case of Habakkuk, waiting patiently, likewise the psalmist, trusting in God, waiting in silence, it's always because of God's faithfulness. And here, St. Paul realizes that at the proper time, the appearing of Jesus Christ, our Savior, has happened. Light and immortality have been brought to light when St. Paul saw the Lord Jesus and when Christ Jesus came into this world, for which, Paul says, I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. Paul is able to persevere in silence because of what God has done in God himself being faithful to his long-standing promise to send the Savior. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. God will yet again himself be faithful He assures us of that. That's the basis for our increased faith. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. St. Paul, like Habakkuk, like the psalmist, knows that faith comes when God assures us of God's own faithfulness, what He has done for us in the appearing of life and immortality in Christ Jesus. That's the reason that we're able to suffer and wait patiently in faith, even as things seem to be unjust, unfair, and as we certainly ourselves are unworthy.
Dr. Carl Flickinger is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning. When we come back, we're going to look at that hymn, I Know That My Faith Is Founded. Folks, you have until the end of the week, September 30th, to get $3 off. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Celebrating the Saints by regular guest Pastor Will Whedon. This devotional resource takes you through the entire church year, highlighting all the commemorations, all of the remembrances, the saints' days in a devotional manner. It's called Celebrating the Saints by Pastor Will Whedon. You'll find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book is called Celebrating the Saints. When we come back, the hymn of the day, I Know My Faith Is Founded, and we'll talk about the theme to look forward to. At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at PerformanceFitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or PerformanceFitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
In faith, Lord, let me serve you when persecution, grief, and pain from you, Lord, seek to swerve me. Let me a steadfast trust retain, and then at my departure, Lord, take me home to you. Your riches to inherit, as all you said holds true. In life and death, Lord, keep me until your heaven I gain, where I, by your great mercy, the end of faith I
final stanza of the hymn, I Know My Faith Is Founded. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary. Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We dealt with it at the beginning of the conversation, but if you would, briefly, back to the gospel reading and our theme for this coming Sunday.
Remember, we were looking at two major ideas from the gospel reading. First of all, from the third portion of the gospel reading, there was that phrase, we are all unworthy servants. And we see now how that has unpacked through the other propers. We were concerned that the unjust, the unrighteous, were prospering, but how important it is to remember that we are all unworthy servants. So as we are becoming concerned whether God's justice is really being done, it's first of all important for us to recognize that every single one of us deserves only punishment. So God's justice is really always a matter of grace, giving us, for the sake of Christ Jesus, more than we deserve, rather than the real concern being to punish those who are wicked. But I think we found that the other theme from the gospel reading has been more prominent through the rest of the propers. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And we saw how Habakkuk had to wait patiently when it looked like things were going badly, but he was assured that the righteous will live by faith. And we saw how the psalmist was able to wait in silence, believing that God would ultimately come through because he was the Savior. And we saw in the intro at how everything that we do in terms of hoping and rejoicing and praising is because of something God has done. And so as the disciples asked the Lord, increase our faith, and Jesus gave that rather strange answer. He didn't say, I will. He didn't say, I won't. He just said, if you would grain like mustard seed, you could say this mulberry tree be uprooted, plant of the sea would obey you. What Jesus, I think, has really been getting at here has now been clarified by the other propers. And here's my theme that I think explains those verses from Luke 17 and certainly comes in light of the other propers as well. My theme for the whole week is this. Our prayer for increased faith, God answers chiefly by assuring us that he himself is faithful. The disciples have asked a question that Jesus is delighted to grant, give us stronger faith. That's a very appropriate prayer. The problem is when we sometimes think that faith is the end rather than something that grasps a very different end, a greater object. It's not really a matter of how strong our faith is. Jesus minimizes that when he says just a faith of mustard seed could do amazing things. What Jesus is pointing the disciples to, away from their faith, is what God does for them. Ultimately, enabling the righteous to live by faith in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, that St. Paul cites so prominently, to be, as St. Paul would say, the one who is called from unbelief and total degradation, to be one who will suffer with Christ by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Faith is always about the object of faith rather than about faith itself. Our prayer for increased faith, God answers not by pumping up something in us immediately, but chiefly by speaking to us in his word again and again and again about himself, about the things he does. When we see what God has done again and again and again, so invariably, so consistently, in giving Christ Jesus to reconcile us to God and forgiving our sins and assuring us of eternal life, that's the basis then for trusting. We have faith because the one we have faith in is always faithful.
We have about a minute here for your thoughts on that short hymn, I Know My Faith Is Founded.
A beautiful development of what we've just been saying. Stanza 2, increase my faith, dear Savior. There's that prayer. A firmer faith bestow, we say in stanza 2. The answer to that prayer, increase our faith, a firmer faith bestow, comes significantly from the way this hymn is even positioned. If you look in the hymnal, hymn 587 is in the Word of God section, which reminds us that our prayer for increased faith or a firmer faith to be bestowed upon us isn't going to be generated by something in ourselves. It's always going to be in God's Word. That is the Word of God, which tells us about what God does for us. I know my faith is founded on Jesus Christ, my God and Lord. And so wonderfully in stanza three, in faith, Lord, let me serve you through persecution, grief, and pain. Even when things go badly, I don't see how things are working out. Even though those should seek to overwhelm me, let me a steadfast trust retain. And then, at my departure, Lord, take me home. There's that magnificent destination he has. Your riches to inherit, as all you said, holds true. As God has been faithful, as all God said in his word holds true, now we have something to cling to. That's precisely how God answers our prayer, Lord, increase our faith. He increases our faith by reminding us that he himself is always faithful, that all he said holds true, and that brings us there to where I, by your great mercy, the end of faith, eternal joy in heaven, attain.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fikencher, thank you.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Now we're two of Issues, Etc., Judge and Prophet Gideon with Pastor Tom Baker, and part 39 of our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation with Dr. Ken Cherb. We'll talk about Sermon on the Mount.
Weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.